Good morning, everyone. So before we start the lecture, let's talk about the assignment first. Your assignment 2 is still under evaluation. We are in the process of finalizing the evaluation, so we hope that in few days you will get the feedback about the assignment 2. You have already submitted assignment 3 on Sunday, and assignment 4 is already uploaded. So, yeah. Yeah, some of you might have got, but still some of you are still waiting. So it's not totally done yet. So assignment 4 is there, so you'll start working on assignment 4, although we haven't studied everything needed for assignment 4. So one of the tasks you cannot do till this week finishes, right? So as we discussed in the previous week, the task 1 is about converting the conceptual schema into relational schema. The conceptual schema is given at the end here, so you have to convert it in your relation in your resulting relational model. You are supposed to specify the primary key. If there are alternate key, you need to specify how you are going to deal with it, and there should be foreign keys at appropriate locations. You need to also check for the normalization in the resultant relational model. After you get the relational model, after conversion of this particular conceptual schema, but not in very much detail, you need to do the normalization here. But in general, you need to check whether is there any problems here related with normalization. The second task is about, because you will get the relational schema from task 1, so you have to create all the tables with primary key, foreign key, or maybe unique keys by using the SQL commands. So that is the second task, and task 3 is purely about the normalization. So there are 4 parts in task 3. You need to, these words may look like foreign, Aline, to you, but it won't be after the end of this particular week. So you need to do the normalization of third task. Any other questions? If you have, we can discuss during the week. All right, so last time on Friday, we started kind of little bit normalization and we discussed few things. Do you remember anything? We were talking about two different type of design, why one of the design is a better design and the other one is not a better design. Okay, so let's quickly refresh what we did on Friday. So why we do the normalization? So when you get the relational model, you need to check whether your design is a good design or not. Whether is there any some kind of problems. What kind of problems? We will just say. So, it is a process of producing a suitable set of relations, meeting those objectives that usually with the help of normalization, we get to a relational design where the redundancy is minimal. We cannot eliminate all the redundancy, but we can achieve minimal redundancy. And second thing is that we can do all the manipulation of data with least problems. So whatever we want to insert, update, delete, it can be handled very easily. If you are following the proper procedure, that means you are starting with the conceptual design and then you are following that 8-step process of converting the conceptual design to relational model, usually your tables are already normalized. Most of the cases, if you have followed that 8 steps properly. So you just need to check very superficially whether it is normalized or not. And that's why in task 1, we are not asking you to exclusively do the normalization of every resultant table. You just need to check superficially in case of task 1. But sometimes we don't follow this procedure. We don't start with the conceptual model and then converting into the relational model. Especially in the small applications, we directly create our tables. We directly think about designing our tables instead of going through all that procedure. And in that case, normalization becomes much more important. So you need to check, because you haven't followed the proper procedure. You directly are trying to create the tables. You must check exclusively for every table whether the tables are normalized or not. Because if you won't, there will be many, many problems in the updation, deletion, and insertions, as well as there will be lots of redundancy, duplicate information at multiple places. What's the problem if we have duplicate information at multiple places? These days, memory is so cheap, right? Yeah. Yes, the maintenance is much more difficult. You need to always keep track of that data is present at multiple locations. And if you are making some changes at one location, you need to make sure that you have made the changes at other locations also. Otherwise, you will have inconsistent data. It is giving you some information at one place and some other information at other place. And that's what we were discussing last time. And we took an example of my favorite employee and department. Today we will take another example. So these are two alternatives. Can you see? In the first case, we are having all the information in single table. And in another alternative, we have divided that information into two different relations or tables. So which one is a good design? So if we try to fill some data, maybe we can see it better. So in the first table, in the first design, we have everything in the single table. So we have all the customer information here, as well as the postal code, as well as, so we have kind of customer ID, first name, middle name, last name, and street, etc. And then we have the code, zip code. And finally, the name of the town. So everything is in a single table. So suppose if we imagine the data for some few customers, these details are not that important. And suppose this one is 2815, this one is also 2815. This one is, suppose, I don't know what's the code for Oslo, but so I'm just putting some information. In the second design, instead of having everything in single table, we have multiple tables and we have divided the data into two tables where we have all the details of the customer in one table. And the zip code with the town name we have in another one. Suppose if we try to fill the same data in the other design. And here we have these are the details. Alright, so we have two different designs specifying exactly the same data. In the case of first design, what will be the primary key? The customer ID will be the primary key. In case of second design, in the first customer table, customer ID will be the primary key. In the case of zip town table, zip code will be the primary key. And these two tables are related with the help of the common column. That's how we do it. So the common column is zip code. The name of the column may or may not be same. It doesn't matter. So this is our foreign key, which is referencing the primary key of this table. So this is the way we have put in the design too. Now, what do you think, which design is better? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes, so there is lots of duplicacy of data in the case of first design. That's the first problem. And then we will have much problem while we are trying to insert, delete or update the data. For example, a new town, we need to fill the details about a new town in case of first design. Let's assume there is a new town with the detail maybe 2100. And the name of the town is New Town. Can we do this? No customer is still living, or maybe we don't have the data of any customer living in this town. So we don't have the details about here. Can we fill this? Why? Yeah, because we don't have the details. So usually when we don't have the information, or the data doesn't exist, or the data is not applicable, we put the values null, right? Can we do this? We cannot enter a null value in the primary key column, right? So we have customer, we have town details, but we cannot do the insertion of this particular row until a customer start living in that particular town, right? So we have to wait to insert this partial information until we have all the information, right? So partial information cannot be inserted in case of this particular design. Whereas if we want to do the same thing in the second design, can we do this? We can enter here a third row with the name New Town, although there is no customer yet, and it is perfectly fine. We don't have to wait for the customer, right? So second design, it's better because we can insert some information even if all the information is not present. So this is the problem with the first design. It has insertion problem, or we can say insertion anomaly. So when your table is not normalized, this is the first problem we face. And this second design doesn't have any such problem. Another problem with the design one is, suppose the name of the town changes for a particular zip code. For example, 2700, we made a mistake, it's not Oslo, it's Trondheim. Then we need to make those changes at every row where 2700 exists. So we want to change just one bit of information, one information at one attribute, but we need to do it at multiple location. That is called update anomaly. So here I am just showing you four customer, but it can be thousands of customer, and they may be belonging to zip code 2700. We need to make the changes at every location, and if we fail to do so, it will result in inconsistency of data. Somewhere 2700 will show Oslo, and somewhere else 2700 will show Trondheim. So we have to be very, very sure whenever there is a redundancy. If we need to do the same change in design 2, one change required, and we are doing it at one location, right? So we don't need to do it at multiple location. So the first design has updation anomaly, whereas the second design is free from that anomaly, right? And the last one is deletion anomaly. Suppose, let me make the changes. Suppose there is only one customer from 2700 town, right? And suppose these customers no longer exist. So that customer number 3 is the only customer from town 2700. And this customer leaves, this customer is no longer our customer. So we need to delete the details of this particular customer. In case of second design, we can just delete this particular row, right? We can delete it because customer number 3 no longer exists. So we will delete this row and no problem. But how we are going to do in design 1? Either we delete the whole row. If we delete the whole row, we are not only losing the information about customer 3, but we are also losing the information about the town, which is not present anywhere else. That town with the zip code 2700 is town Trondheim or Oslo. And that information is not available in any other row in this case. Another thing is that instead, if you want to just lose this, you can, there could be that alternative if CID is not the primary key, that you fill null here in all these and keep this detail. But that is not possible in this particular case. You cannot have null in the CID column. So the only option you have is to delete the whole row. And to delete the whole row, you are not only losing the information about the customer, but you are also losing the information about the town, which you cannot retrieve from any other row. In the second design, that's not a problem. You can delete customer 3. Still, the town information is here. So it's not a problem. You are not deleting the town information. You can still keep that information. So the first design also has delete anomaly. So all the 3 problems are there. There is data redundancy. You are writing the zip code and town every time, which is not needed. And second thing is that it has all these 3 problems related with insertion, deletion and updation. Whereas the second design has minimal redundancy and it doesn't have any problem related with modification of data later on. It provides you ease in the modification, right? And this is because of the first design is not a normalized table, whereas second design is a normalized table. These are the details which we just discussed. If you want, you can read that theory later on. But basically, we discussed all these things. Now, to understand the normalization procedure, we need to understand one very important concept that is called functional dependency. So, all that normalization procedure is based on the concept of functional dependency. So, every relation, we need to figure out what are the functional dependencies. Now, let's see what do we mean by functional dependency. First of all, we need to see in every table we have prime attributes and we have non-prime attribute. Prime attributes are those attributes which are part of the key. And non-prime attributes are those attributes which are not part of the key. Right? So this is the first thing we need to understand. And then we have the definition of functional dependency. Please read it and then let me know what do you understand. Did you finish reading? Something clear a little bit? Let's try to understand this with the help of an example. This is another thing. X, Y are the attribute of a relation. So we are assuming that there is a relation in which there are attributes, different attributes, right? And we are saying that X functionally determines Y if this condition is true. So whenever two rows have the same value for x, they must have same value for y. What do we mean by that? Let's take this example. We have many attributes. So suppose SSN is our x and ename is our y. Right? According to the definition, what does it say? If for some rows, if x has the same value, the y should have the same value. Then we can say that x determines y, or x functionally determines y. Now let's see here, is it true in case of this particular two attribute? See here, in these three rows, the value of x is same. Yeah. Now see here, x values are same here. According to the definition, if the y values are same also, the same value is repeating, then we can say x determines y. Similarly here, see here, the values are same in this row and this row. And see here, the values are same here, right? And here it is E3 and the value is something else. So it seems from the definition that social security number functionally determines E name. Let's check for social security number and part number. Does it functionally determines? Let's suppose we are considering this is as Y, and let's suppose if this is true, let's check whether this is true. We have checked this is true, but let's check whether the second one is true. According to the definition, there are three same values. If social security number determines project number, then we should have same value here, which is not the case, right? So this functional dependency doesn't hold in this particular table, right? What about here? First of all, there is one more thing. What's the key here? Social security number alone, can it make the key? See here the values are coming again and again. The property of the key is that every row should have unique value. So social security number alone cannot make the key. Part number alone cannot make the key, because see here, these values are same. Yes? Social security number with part number together is the key. If you see all the combination, even if the same employee is repeating here, it's not part number, it's project number. The different project numbers are coming here. So that combination will never be repeated, because we are basically storing which employee is working on which project, how many hours every week. Right? So that combination will always be unique. Now we just saw the definition of prime attribute and non-prime attributes, right? What are the non-prime attributes here? The attributes which are not part of the key are non-prime attribute. These all are non-prime attributes because they are not part of the key. And these two are prime attribute. And we are interested in functional dependencies like where right hand side is the non-prime attribute and left hand side is either the key or part of the key. So we need to identify in this particular table, ename depends on what, project name depends on what, project location depends on what for the normalization purpose, and number of hours per week depends on what. we need to identify the functional dependency for these four non-prime attribute. And to do that, we will find out for the ename, we already figured it out. These three are same, these three are same. When these two are same, these two are same. So ename is actually determined through social security number. If you don't check the data, then also it's very clear. If you know the student ID, you can tell all the details of the student. If you know the customer course code, you can tell all the details of the course. Yes. Which means that e-name determines social security number is not true. So the first one is true. Whenever we are checking from the social security number side, whenever the value is repeating, the same value is repeating to the right hand side, to the e-name. But this opposite is not true, because if opposite is true, here we have the same value. Here we should have the same value, which is not the case. So e-name doesn't determine social security number, but social security number determines e-name. Is that clear? So opposite may or may not be true, right? Okay, so in general, even if there is no data, you can determine the functional dependency because they are very obvious. Like I said, course code is unique for all the course. And if you know the course code, you can tell all the details of the courses. Student ID is unique for students. If you know student ID, the value of the student ID, you can retrieve all the details of the student. But if student ID is not unique for all the students, then you cannot do that, right? So same is here, project name. It will be determined by project number because it is the details of the project, right? And if you see from the definition of the functional dependency also, it is also true. See here, sorry. If you see the details here, P2 here. And see here, project name, it has the same value, right? See here, P3, same value for X. The same value should be for Y, right? So P name is determined by P number. Similarly, for the project location, it is determined by project number. Now, what about number of hours? From the data, it's not very obvious that number of hours, how do you, because if you try to look for some combination like this, you will never be able to find. And whenever you cannot find, because number of hours is actually, if you remember, it's the relationship attribute. So it's neither the project attribute, it's not a detail of the project alone, it's not telling you something about the employee. It is about the combination of both. And that's why it is determined by the combination of both social security number and project number. In any way, if for some attribute you cannot identify, the key determines all the other attributes. So in that case, social security number plus project number together determines the number of hours. So that's the first thing we need to understand. Let's take this example. What's the key first? This is the key. That means social security number is the prime attribute. Rest of all the attributes are non-prime attribute. That means you need to figure out on which attribute all these non-prime attributes are dependent on. That means you need to find e-name dependent on what? Birth date dependent on what? Salary, department number, department name, and department location. Yes. Yes. We haven't started learning the rules of normalization. This is just the background thing we need to know before we start normalization. Okay. As I said, if you know the social security number, the unique number for employee, you can identify all the details about the employee. And even if we don't check the data, then it is obvious here. If suppose, although it cannot come, if suppose E1 is repeated here, what will be the value of E-name? John, what will be the birth date? The same value, right? Because we are talking about the same employee and the same salary value, right? And that person will still be working in the same department. Although we cannot enter this data here because social security number is key. But suppose if we can enter E1 here and E1 determines it's unique for every employee, the same details will come here, right? And based on the definition of functional dependency, if you know the social security number, you can determine all the details about the employee. So here we can safely enter that social security number determine all the details about the employee, including the department in which the employee is working. But what about department name and department location? Forget about the data, just think. Will it be, how will you know the details of the department? From social security number or department code? Department number, because although from the data it seems that here again the manufacturing will come. So it may seem that it can be determined through social security number, but actually the connection is here because it is the department details. So it will be identified from something which can uniquely identify each of the department. So the functional dependency here is this, right? Yes. Actually, the case is, if you see these two and recall mathematics, A is equal to B and B is equal to C, that means A is equal to C. So we can say from these two that SSN determines D name, but it is not a direct functional dependency. It is indirect through department number, right? But that's not false, that's not untrue, that's not incorrect. But for the normalization procedure, we don't need this one. But that's true also. Yeah, let's see another scenario. We will not start normalization until we will clear this. See this example. It is very similar to the first example, and the key is this, right? And we need to find out, there is one more complicated example coming up where it will be more difficult to find out. So we need to determine for all these. So we are basically storing the project details and which employees are working on which project, and employees are paid according to the rate category. Rate category is something like grade scale here. Every employee is paid according to some grade scale. 70, 71, 72, 69. Here in Norway it's like that. And then it determines which rate. Sorry, I didn't change. This is the example I was taking in some other country. So it's still, it should be kroner. Anyway, it doesn't matter here. So P name is easier to find. E name is easier to find. Obviously, it will depend on employee number. If you know employee number, you can determine the name of the employee. If you know project number, you can determine the name of the project and all the other details. What about the rate category? Forget about the data. Think like me. If you know the social security number of an employee, what the other information you can give about that? What's the name? What's the designation? What classes I am taking? What's my grade scale? Etc. etc. Everything can be determined, right? So employee number also determined rate category. And if you see from here, see here, employee 11 is working on both the project, and see here, the rate category is same, right? See employee 12 here, sorry, employee 2 is not repeating, but suppose in second project, if employee 12 is again coming, what will be the rate category? So if this was the case, because wherever my information will be written, my grade scale will remain the same, right? It won't change. So you don't need to always fill the data to determine the functional dependencies. What about the hourly rate? All the employees getting, suppose the grade scale 70, how much money do they get yearly? So the rate depends on what? Employee number or the project number or the rate category? In this case, it's rate category. And if you also see from here, this is the same rate category, and see here, the value is same. So from the definition of functional dependency also, you can figure it out. See here, same rate category, the hourly payment is same, right? So before we start the normalization, we need to determine the key, and we need to determine the functional dependencies for all the non-prime attribute. There can be many more functional dependencies in this table, but we are only interested in those where the right-hand side is a non-prime attribute, and we will prefer if the left-hand side is key or part of the key. For example, this functional dependency is going to create some problem later on, because a non-prime attribute is not dependent on prime attribute, but dependent on something else. So this table is not fully normalized, right? But we will talk about it later. Okay, in this case, this is the last example we are taking. Forget about, don't see this now. Sorry, the answer is here, but don't see that. So there are three attributes. No looking behind this, right? Okay, no looking behind. Okay, so there are three attributes, so there is a possibility of, I need to change the pen. These are the possibilities. We don't know which one are true or not. I will fill some little bit more data, maybe that will make your job easier. Okay, let me fill little bit more. Okay. Try to figure out all these functional dependencies, which one are true. Does teacher determine scores? Let's check. The value here are same. Are the value here same? No, in that case, this is not true. Does teacher determines text? Again, the value here are same. According to the definition, the value here should be the same repeating value, which is not the case. This is also not true, right? Let's check whether the course determines something. Course determine teacher, that means if the course is same, the same teacher is teaching it. That's not the case. We already know even without checking. There can be the same course taught by different teacher. And here also, if you see, these three courses are same. Is the value for the teacher is same? No. So this is also not true, right? Let's check for course and text. If there is a course taught, is it compulsory that the same book will be used, same text will be used? Check here. This is the same course. Is the book always same? Not the case. It may change. Different teacher teaching the same course during different semester, or maybe in the same semester may use different text, right? Now the last two, I don't know why it's not working. Anyway, text determine teacher. If the same book is used, will the teacher be same? Suppose Connolly and Begg, your textbook, used by the same teacher, or different teachers can use it? Different teachers can use it. Maybe they are teaching to different groups and they can use the same book. So see here, from here also, here the book is same. Is the teacher same? No. So this is out of question. But if the same textbook we are talking about, will the course be same? If you talk about the specialized book, we are not talking about the general books. For example, this Connolly and Begg book of data, we haven't written the full name here, but if we write the full name with the title as well as the author with the edition, everything, will it be used for the same course, or the course will be changed? If it can be used for different courses, okay, that there is a possibility here. If I read it, let's not fill. For this particular data, this is true. But if you assume that the same textbook can be used for two different courses, then that is also out of question here. In that case, none of the functional dependency is true. But for this particular data, if you see the textbook here, if it is same, the course is same. So in this all confusion, this is for this particular instance. This is the only functional dependency that exists in this particular table. But again, it depends on your assumption, right? So this is about the functional dependency. This is all we can handle today, and we will start normalization from tomorrow. Please go through the functional dependency concept yourself, and whatever tables you have, please try to figure out the functional dependencies.
for instance, you might have a university where the book determines the teacher.